Welcome to the Balance Love Life and Business Virtual Summit, brought to you today by the Public Speakers Association. I'm so excited to introduce to you the amazing Mr. Fox Speier. Fox, why don't you take it from here?
Thank you so much, Tanya. The early was a day-to-day struggle. It went from bad to worse, and the pain doubled. Never far from imminent danger, from the tough and the unforgiving, I was no stranger. Closure to me seemed impossible, but toughness, I had that, and it was plentiful. So I turned my pain into inspiration, and every day I gave it a game-faced salutation. I said hello, tough times. You were just a pit stop to a happy life, because what's Victory Highway without some struggle and strife? I'm Fox Speier. I'm a dude, a guy, a man. It's going to share some stories of people who are living their lives, loving it, and doing it without self-pity, and achieving things that some never thought possible. Knockdowns, they have them in trillions, but they are married to a trait called resilience, because they know, as life comes and passes, they take great satisfaction out of rising from the ashes. First, the story of DJ Gregory. 30 years old and living in Savannah, Georgia, DJ was obsessed with the game of golf. He covered it, he played it, he wrote about it. But my guess is that golf junkie is not the first thing you would think of when you saw DJ. How do I know this? Well, both DJ and I have cerebral palsy. What does it feel like? Take a towel and wrap it up like you're going to give somebody a rat tail with it. It's entangled. It will do the job. That is to say, it will dry you off and clean things up, but it is much more arduous, much more difficult. Each step that both DJ and I take is on the edge of catastrophe. On the edge of catastrophe, a one-time, everyday calamity, God bless my friends and my family, but sometimes our gates just don't want to work. As I said before, DJ was obsessed with golf. He made it his mission in 2009 to walk every hole of the PGA Tour for an entire season. As his dad told him, DJ, nobody does this. What did he do? DJ walked every hole of the 2009 PGA Tour, a distance of over 900 miles. Entangled. I'll turn a 5-minute walk into a 20-minute manhunt. Hello, I'm adversity, and I show a man to himself. Next is the story of Jim McLaren. At 22 years old, Jim McLaren set out on his motorcycle into New York City. As Jim said, that night was a night of endless possibility. That night, while on his bike, Jim was hit by a New York City bus. As he said, they actually chalked his body in the middle of the street. He was left for dead, but nobody measured his tough. Dive in and swim. It's time to find out what lies within, because when you are dealt a second-rate hand, it does come down to the character of the man. Not only did Jim survive, as he said, after all that happened, ultimately all that really happened was that he lost use of his left leg below his knee. From then on, Jim set out to form his body into that of a long-distance runner. And from then on, Jim became the fastest one-legged long-distance runner on the planet. Every day you're going at it all right, bringing the heat morning, evening, and night. Through sweat, pain, torture, and agony, you bring the heat on the road to who you want to be. Every task on high alert, never bored, your next set, that's your reward, because from head to feet, all Jim did was he kept bringing the heat. 8 years after his first accident, Jim was on his bike on a closed course when he said, "I saw the grill of a truck coming directly into me." Jim was hit and he was paralyzed from the neck down. But again, you can't measure his tough. Even if tough times last, tough people, they last longer. And as Jim went down that mogul-ridden path, his faith just grew stronger. Jim survived and formed the Challenged Athletes Foundation. And then, thousands of miles away in Ghana, a man named Emmanuel Ufosu Yuboa was given a bike through Jim's organization. Emmanuel took this bike and rode on one leg across Ghana, raising money for people like him that were disabled. And the amazing thing was, he rode through the most unforgivable obstacle of all, thousands of years of prejudice. Because back then, a disabled baby in Ghana was considered a curse. And his mother, upon Emmanuel's birth, was advised to kill him. Let's get away from labels and groups, jump into one big pot, and just make soup. Next, the story of Terry Fox. Terry was a very competitive athlete growing up in Canada. He wanted to win at everything he did. As a young man, he faced a very formidable foe, cancer in his leg. Through his treatments, he saw kids with even worse diagnoses than him. He made it his life's mission to raise money to help save these kids. His talent may be great, but his makeup was elite. Terry was always thinking about victory, even in his most terrible defeat. As I said, over 35 years ago, Terry set out to run across Canada on one leg. Terry ran 3,339 miles across Canada, raising so much money for research. And to this day, his organization and his name has raised millions of dollars in cancer research. Even though Terry has passed on, his dream of a cancer-free world is soon to be realized. Last night, I lied in bed and looked to the sky. I'll tell you what I saw in my mind's eye. It was a place same in race and in creed. A mighty fine place to be indeed. People not doing for themselves, but for each other. That person right next to you, for sure your brother. These people for each other they lived. One word on their minds, that word was give. It was a place free and void of things like bigotry. A mighty fine place to be indeed. Free of the incessant and the horrible, free of the obnoxious and the terrible. People last night, I dreamt of a world free of disease because last night I dreamt of a world that was cancer-free. Another person living his life without self-pity is the story of Drew Hunthausen. At 11 years old, Drew was a strong, strapping young man. This turned quickly. Before you knew it, Drew could not see, was hearing impaired, and uneasy on his feet. Scared beyond belief, Drew decided then and there to push himself like never before and tell his story from the stage. Drew went and continues to go beyond the beyond. Start the bar high and raise it. Stretch yourself to the limit so much you can't take it. Anything you're facing, it's in trouble. Anything you do, it's on the double. Ready, set, on your mark. You've got the keys and you are double parked. Ready yourself for the ultimate spectacle. Strap it on and create your own miracles. Be the best human you ever knew, a story all can aspire to, because Drew went beyond the beyond. and he continues to do so. He is a world-renowned motivational speaker. He has a great program on Facebook, 1 p.m. Pacific every single day, or I think it's every Friday. It's called A Day in the Life of a Blind Guy. What does he do? Everything. He makes the impossible possible. Drew's last name is spelled H-U-N-T-H-A-U-S-E-N. Give him a follow. Next is the story of Walker. Walker was an athlete growing up in upstate New York, played both squash and lacrosse. Walker had partial CP and not much use of one of his hands and a bum ankle. But in typing class, what did he do? He simply found a one-handed typing program and became the best one-handed typer on the planet. As his coach, Ross Griswold, said, Walker was the captain of the squash team for no other reason than because he was the best player on the team. Walker took the path never traveled. He was uniquely himself. In a crowd of a million faces, he did what he wanted to do. Next is the story of Chris Finn. 21 years old, Chris was obsessed with the game of hockey. He lived it. He breathed it. He played it. But at 21, he lost the ability to walk. But he had two things. A fire burning inside him. And as LaWanna Parker said, a mother who would not let him fall into despondency. So Walker set out. He studied the game. He lived the game. He ate the game. He breathed the game. The elevator is closed. Take the stairs. You don't have time to care. Fall down twice, three times, stand up. And to this day, Walker has become a hockey coach and has led his teams twice to world championship. As Tanya said, I'm Foxfire. I'm a dude, a guy, a man, a teacher, an author, a coach, a songwriter. And I'm a dude, a guy, a man with cerebral palsy. This is a bit of my story. It's 6 a.m. and the alarm clock on my iPad mini goes off. While I am grateful for this iPad mini, a gift from my Somerset Patriot family, I know it's alarm clock, it's in primary intended use, so naturally I want to punch it. But I don't. What do? I hit snooze twice in the next 10 minutes. I begin to awake and begin to put my right leg on the floor. And as I do this, I see a scar on my right hip, which is product of 1984 and 1988 hip osteotomy surgery, in which my surgeon, Dr. Harold M. Dick, inserted metal rods in both my hips and turned the bones out, all in an effort that I become less knock-kneed. Well, I put my left leg on the floor and begin to stand up. And the first thing that happens is my knees begin to kiss together. I look down at my knees and say, boy, you boys have really gotten to know one another very well over the last bunch of years. Captive of my body, this thing has got me sitting here in this chair, and so begins the unfair. Thought so by some, blind, deaf, and dumb. Did he hear that sound? How is he getting around? Listen, my crossed eyes gave me x-ray vision in disguise. From my first ectomy to my last otomy, my scars, they are my gift. I begin the walk to the bathroom to shower. I pick my feet up, just high enough up off the ground not to trip and fall flat on my face. Each step carries with it a memory. This time, the sound a morphine machine makes, injecting morphine goodness into my sliced body after a 1990 hamstring transfer surgery. I climb into the shower and hold on to things more than gently because people I've had many tumbles in my life, and today I want to keep my teeth. I begin to bathe, and as I bathe, I see all my scars, each one carrying with it a memory. Heel cord extension, hamstring transfer, hip osteotomy, testicle removal, and chest tube. I climb out of the shower again, holding on to things more than gently because I've had a lot of tumbles in my life, and today I want to keep my teeth. I towel off and groom myself, and the last thing that I do is I put contact lenses into my eyes. When I do this, I am reminded that I cannot focus on a single object with both eyes at the same time, product of being cross-eyed at birth and many surgeries in between. I step back from the mirror. It's 6:30 in the a.m., and the snooze has become my friend. Soon I see myself in the mirror. He looks back at me and says, "Have you done all you can do, and are you ready for what is to come? Are you thankful for all you have been given, as would say decent son? Do you realize the responsibility that comes with the pleasure of success? You must be a man of integrity to always be at your best. And no matter there are no cameras, that you're alone under this roof, you can hide sometimes from the outside world, but the mirror always tells me the absolute truth." I walk out of the bathroom and into my bedroom to get dressed. Again, I pick my feet up, just high enough up off the ground not to trip and fall flat on my face. Each step again carries with it a memory. This time it's days after my hamstring transfer in 1990, and my surgeon, Dr. Roy M. Nuzzo, walks into the room. He's dressed in plaid from head to toe, and he's making me do all these coordination exercises, like rubbing my stomach while patting my head, and vice versa. My body is sliced up and spasming. Some of the spasms make me feel like I'm picked up off my bed. I touch the ceiling, and I come back down on the bed, shaking the entire time. Doc asks me, "Fox, how are you doing? Good?" I have never told a bigger lie in my life when I said, "Yeah, Doc, I'm doing great." I dress myself. As a general rule, this takes me 4 times as long as it does for the average bear. No big deal. The hardest part, however, is putting on and tying my shoes. I do this with my left foot with hardly any problems, and the right foot is much more difficult. I begin to do this, and I look to my right, and I see my neighbor in the parking lot kneel down on one knee and tie his shoe in 2 seconds flat. I sigh and look to my left. I can picture my mother telling me as a kindergartner, "Fox, you have CP, you walk funny, that's it, get over it." Blunt and to the point, but she has a point. I can't help but think in this moment, like the ones I've talked about, the millions of people in this world who have it tougher than me and continue to love their lives, living it without self-pity. Take Andre for example. At 21 years old, Andre was given a motorcycle for his birthday. He took it out for a spin without his helmet on, and the first thing he hit was his head. As my roommate in Children's Specialized Hospital in 1990, Andre had no access to his long-term and short-term memory, and was prone to violent mood swings, many of which were directed towards his own mother. For example, one day his mother would walk in and Andre would be all lovey-dovey with her, kissing on her and hugging on her the entire time. But the very next day, he'd lock her out of the room and point to her and look at me and say, "Fox, who's that bitch trying to enter the room?" So yeah, I think I can tie my shoe. I do this. I stand up, and in doing so, my knees, again, knock together. I stare straight ahead at a white wall, and I think about the amount of times during this day the perception of me is going to get morphed with the actual reality. I recall back in the seventh grade running around the track in gym class. All of us are back in the locker room, and one particular classmate is going around comparing his time with ours. He gets to me. I begin to say my time, and he says, "Fox, you don't count." And in this moment, I tell you, don't tell me what I can and cannot do. To my image, I am defiant. What you see is so far from true. I'm a mental giant. I'm frail, built like a nicknamed scarecrow, inside what a lot do not know. I have been broken and welded so many times, I can't tell you this, no matter how hard I try. Misjudged book and misread cover, I'll tell you what lies under. My toes are curled, my body wants to go fetal, because in my life I have seen so many needles. I pick up my legs to run, you know, like kids do for fun. But I've got to be careful, because every step could lead to a tumble. This I can't forget. In front of my face, my eyes, specks for years they can't disguise. My pupils are never in sync, no matter how hard I try and think. But don't tell me what I can and cannot do. To my image, I am defiant. What you see is so far from true. I'm a mental giant. Stuart Lake, a friend of mine, a college baseball coach for over 22 years, has faced many personal and professional tragedies within the game. He has made it his mission as the director of player development at the University of South Carolina to coach and live with an accountable urgency. And I encourage you all to do the same as you live your life, loving it, making your business do so, and do it without self-pity. Because we don't know when this is going to end. We all have a clock. Make the best of it. As you rise, you unwrap another chance, a time again to adapt and advance. The sun, it rises, and you are prepared. You can right your wrongs and right the unfair. You open the window, you look above and below, a voice in your head. It says, less show and more go. But the trees, the grass, and the light are anything but lame. You decide to play the waiting game. And as you look out this window and stand here alone, realize this, whichever way you look, this window will soon close. So live, and live without self-pity. Again, I'm Fox Beyer. My website, foxbeyer.com, foxbeyer.com. My email is fox@foxbeyer.com. Again, fox@foxbeyer.com. Off my website or through my email, email me. I would be glad to give you a copy of my book of motivational poetry entitled Letter Kindling, Igniting, Inspiring, and Evoking the Fire Within. If you feel my words could really help your organization, again, email me either through my email, my website, foxbeyer.com. I would be happy to set something up. Live life without self-pity. It's great. Tanya, back to you.
Perfect.